All right, we're going to look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. So if you would, turn to Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. Just two verses, and then we're going to look at John chapter 10 a little bit. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. The Bible says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." The title of this message is that Jesus makes you complete. I want to ask you, what do you think of when you hear that Jesus has made you complete? I know that New King James uses the word complete, but King James says you've been made perfect. The Revised Standard Version says it equips you with every good work. But all three are agreed. They equip us, they make us perfect, they make us complete, Jesus does, for his work. So today I want to speak to you about God, Jesus, and our purpose in life. I read this story, and it brought a thought in my heart from Donna Maltese as a devotional, 365 devotions on the power of prayer. And this is the little devotional that I gave to the deacon's wives at the beginning of the year. I sure have enjoyed that little book. It's an eye-opener from a woman's point of view, and this is what she writes for yesterday. Thank God for God. When you don't have the strength to do what he's telling you to do, he'll give you that strength. With his unlimited resources, he'll equip you with whatever you need to carry out the plan for your life. He'll give you the energy to keep trying, to persevere, and it's all for God. And for God not only works on you, he works in you, empowering you with the same power he used to raise Jesus from the dead. Even more amazing is that he'll give you all the peace that you need as you go through this process of hearing, obeying, and doing. Oh, what a God you have. There is no greater help available to you than that of the Holy Three working within you and without you. The Bible says he has made you complete and perfect to carry out his will. And if there's anything that you have been asked by God to do, has he ever asked you to do something that's absolutely impossible with his power? Of course the answer is no, because he does powers. He gives us the completeness to accomplish his will. It reminds me of John chapter 15, verse 5, where Jesus says, "I am the vine, you're the branches." You know that if the branch receives the nourishment through the vine, and Christ is our vine, and we're the branches that receive our nourishment from Jesus, but also us to do his work into us. As the branch spreads, it glorifies the Lord, it does the work of the divine. One of the old saints that I read, and this was written many, many years ago, said, "I'm only a chisel which cuts the wood while the carpenter directs it." As I read that, I'm thinking, am I a chisel? And I'm not one of those that wants to direct it. Have I been made a chisel and I think I'm the director? But the truth of the matter is, God has made us the chisels, and he's the director of our lives. D.L. Moody wrote, "Put the violin in the hands of a poor player, and you will put your fingers in your ears to keep out the noise. But the same instrument in the hands of a skillful player, and you will feel the soul breathing through that instrument. It is the player that makes the difference. Look all along the line of human history and you may see what kind of figures God can make out of clay like yours. You may hear what kind of music he can play on instruments such as you are. The great and good men of the world witnesses to the power, not ourselves, and look, that is in ourselves to the power that makes men great. God intends to breathe his soul through us." So as we look at Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to see some things that God himself describes about him and some directions that he gives us through him. And the first place we start is in verse 20. Let me read it again, but I want to pick out two or three thoughts in this verse. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The first thing God he teaches us about himself is that he is the God of peace. He's revealing through our life his peace. And I looked up the definition of Webster's, and here's the, it's quite a lengthy definition of peace, by the way, Webster's. So I picked out six parts of it. There's probably 20, 25 sentences dealing with peace, but here's the six I chose. Peace means freedom from disturbance where peace and order reign. He offers a state of security to a sheep. He gives you freedom from disturbing or oppressive thoughts or emotions. He provides harmony in personal relationships. He makes possible a state of agreement to end hostilities. And he is a state of tranquility. He's the peace that passes all understanding. So if you look at him being the God of peace, he's giving you freedom from disturbances where peace and order needs to reign in our lives. So I stopped a moment there and just kind of dwelled on that thought, and I thought about our families. So often our families are not experiencing peace. They're experiencing all sorts of disturbances. But God tells us he's the God of peace. He makes it so that you and I can have a peace in his security. Even today with this rain, with the COVID-19 we're facing every day, God offers his security to us. He gives us freedom from disturbing or oppressive thoughts or emotions. And good gracious, if you've ever traveled on Dotsonville Road, your emotions go all over the place. Yesterday, I turned left on Dotsonville Road from Dover Road, and there was about 30 cars in front of me, and they were doing about 10, sometimes 15 miles an hour, most of the time 10 miles an hour, and it's 45 miles an hour on that road. So my emotions, can you imagine what they were going through about 10 minutes of that? It took me 30 minutes to get from one end of the road to Dotsonville Road to the other, and I wanted it for about 12, 13 minutes. About halfway through Dotsonville Road, I knew what I was going to be preaching today. I said, please give me your peace. I need your peace really bad now. And he did. And I sucked up. I got over my emotions. And what would have happened had I not called on him? He is the God of peace, and he gave me his peace. So I praise him for that. He gives us harmony for relationships. So again, how does that fit into your life? Have you got harmony in your life, or is there discord in your life? God has the power, the ability, and the will to give us his peace. In verse 20, we also see that he brought Jesus back from the dead. I wrote down a couple things about his death. Number one, he was completely dead, Jesus was. He had no life left in him, no heartbeat. No oxygen coursing through his body. He was completely dead. And God had the power to raise dead Jesus up from the death.
Amen.
And I don't want you to miss this also. You see a loving and caring Father as he raises Jesus from the dead. He's the one that gave his Son to die for our sins. But realize that he and Jesus have been together since creation. Before the creation of this world, they were before anything. And Jesus loved his dad. He trusted his dad. He did what his dad asked him to do. And they both somehow were God. And as he came to this earth, he gave up that deity. And as he did, he trusted dad. He trusted Father in heaven. And God was able to give Jesus the peace that Jesus needed to die on the cross for. So as he gave Jesus the peace, he has the power to give you and me the peace. So the question becomes, I guess, do you trust God for that peace? How is the peace in your life? Let's keep on going and see what else God reveals in verse 20. He talks about Jesus as the great shepherd or the sheep. And let me tell you, God doesn't waste ink. He gets right to the point. He has revealed his perfect order. God the Father, God the Son, we're the sheep. There's two questions that came to mind as I'm thinking about us being the sheep and Jesus being the great shepherd and God the Father. The first question is Jesus your shepherd? I know that a lot of us have been saved, but I'm asking you today, is Jesus your shepherd? And secondly, are you willing to be his sheep and follow him? Remember in the book of John chapter 10, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, and my sheep know me, and I know them, and my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And over in chapter 10, verses 17, 18, 19, 20, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and all my sheep follow me, and they do as I say. And then he says, I am the Father of one. Are you allowing God to be your shepherd? And remember what a shepherd does. He cares for the people. He corrects the sheep. He corrals the sheep in his corral. He feeds the sheep. He provides for them. When they get out of line, what's the shepherd do? He gets them back in line. Are you allowing Jesus to be your shepherd? Are you following Jesus? When he speaks your name, do you know his voice? The will of God is perfected through us being the sheep, Jesus being the shepherd, God being the Father. There's six things that he reveals about his purpose in verse 21. Let me read verse 21 again, and I'll share the six thoughts that he gave me. Make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. First of all, he makes you complete or perfect. Not to do what you want to do, but for what he wants you to do. He makes you good in every good work that he gives you. So he makes you perfect, but he also gives you the work to do. And it's his will that he's asked you to do. So that's the third thing. And then he works in you to do that will. It's all for his glory. And all goes through Jesus Christ. The will of God is not perfected in us by our own good works and our good thoughts. We can do the best we can humanly, but if it's not what God asks us to do it in this order, it brings God no honor and all. No matter how hard we work, how talented we are, how smart we are, how much energy we have, if it's not done in God's order, then it's for nothing. Again, thinking about that, I'll talk about myself. How often have I done something outside of God's order? Thinking I'm doing a good thing for the Lord, then if I'm outside of his order, he receives no honor and glory if he ever done one. As I prepared this message, I wrote it down, and I wish you could see my notes. I wrote it down in ink that fades. I've lost about half of it. But I was listening to Carrie Underwood as she sang How Great Thou Art. And she was singing in front of probably 200 or 300 other Western stars, country Western stars. And she started bellowing out how great thou art and brought tears to people's eyes, and they stood up and gave her a standing ovation as she just bellowed it out, and it sounded perfect. And tears were in her eyes, and she was patting her heart, and it was affecting everybody that heard it. And that's the kind of stuff that brings honor and glory to the Lord when we acknowledge him and we sing for him and others see the Lord in us. So with that in mind, this would be a pretty good time for us to sing How Great Thou Art together. So I've got two verses. I think it's the first and the last verse. And it's on your Facebook page if you want to look at it. And I think you already know the words. We've got the music. So I think we'll go ahead and play the music just to make sure it works. If it doesn't, we're going to sing anyway. But this is for the glory of God. It's not for us. It's to let God know during this rain, during the time of the parking lot, during the time when we're not in the sanctuary, God is still great. God is in his position. He's on the throne. We're his sheep. Jesus is the shepherd. God is our Father. You ready?
I hope.
We'll go ahead and sing it. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Did you sing it? First.
You want me to play it this time?
When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation, and we bring home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow with humble adoration,
and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen.
I want to close with just a few points of application. So David, I want you to go ahead and do what I've asked you to do. And I had a conversation with a brother last week or two, and his heart was broken. He wants to serve God. He wants to be a good sheep and do what God's called him to do. He wants to serve the best he can. And he told me, Brother Jerry, I just feel disconnected. I can't serve like I normally do. He really wants to serve. So I got back with him, prayed through it all, and I think we all want to serve God. I think we all want to do what God has asked us to do, but some of it's just impossible to do right now. You can't do the normal stuff that we've been doing. You can't hardly hold somebody's hand and pray with them, and they'll tell you to be 6 feet apart. But here's some simple applications that you can do if you feel disconnected and you really want to serve the Lord. If you're a member of a Sunday school class, real simple, and if you want to serve the Lord, pick up your phone and call your Sunday school class members. They're waiting to be called. They're waiting to have a conversation. They're as lonely as you are. So if you really want to serve God in a different, not a normal way, call your Sunday school class members. Just tell them you miss them, love them, and then carry on a conversation with them. Hello? Write some cards and letters, and I put a blank there. Some of you could write a letter or two a day. Some of you could write a card or 10 cards a day. Some of you are prolific card writers. But if you want to serve God, those of you that have never written an encouraging card to somebody, I encourage you to write to somebody. Just write them, drop them a note saying, I'm thinking of you, I'm praying for you, I miss you, I wish we could see you in the sanctuary. You'd be amazed what a card does for people. And again, I said, I'll put a blank there. You can send one card, or you can send 20 cards a day. You're not going to have it right now. There are things you can do around the church. If you look around on the parking lot, there's green stuff and these cracks. That's grass. Somebody has to spray that. Somebody has to scrape it to get the grass off. And if you want to serve God, that's a way of serving. That would glorify God. Come down here and let us give you some weed killer and kill the grass in the cracks. If you really want to serve God, we mow the yard once a week. You're more than welcome to come down here and serve in that way. And you may say, I'm too old to, I'm not healthy enough. And we can come down here and sleep. I don't know, we'll find something where you can serve God if you feel like you want to serve God as a sheep. We have a prayer garden inside. There's a lot of weeds in there. And sooner or later, I know who's going to end up leaving it. It's either going to be Ginger or Ginger. The Ginger or me, one of us are going to leave that. If you want to serve, we'll let you in the church and you can pull weeds. There's a lot of different ways to serve God. If you're feeling disconnected, and realize that God has made you complete for service. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on at church that requires work. So if you want to serve, realize that God has made you complete, and the service that I'm offering is things that will bring honor and glory to God. There are things that need to be done. Real simple, if you want to serve God, be the light of Jesus out in the world. And again, if you've ever gone to down here to Walmart or Kroger's, it's awful easy to see all the mistrust and the frowns, the scowls in the stores. But you go in there and smile and tell them God bless you. Especially those that are checking you out. They're being bombarded with germs and they're on the front line serving us. You can serve them by just smiling at them, just thanking for serving, for being there for you. We'd be starving to death without them. Wherever you're at, remember you're going to make complete. Take what God has given you, where you're at, and use it. Be his sheep, no matter where.
Amen.
I hope today that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You can't serve him with glory unless you have him in your heart and your life. So simple. Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins that come into my life. And Jesus, if he knows your hearts, and you're willing to ask him, he'll come to you. I'm so fast to let the head spin. Others of us are just kind of getting lonely. We're kind of getting frustrated. We need to know that God has made us complete to serve. And ask God, Lord, how can I serve you? And I promise you, he'll give you an answer somehow or another. He's given you 4 or 5 answers this morning. So let's go to the Lord and pray, and then we'll dismiss. Father Almighty, thank you for this time. I do love you, Father. I love the privilege of getting up here and sharing your word and just opening up the Bible. And Father, I pray for this sound system, the speakers that have allowed your word to go out. And Father, through that, you penetrate in our hearts. And for those that have never had a professional faith too, I pray, Lord, today would be the day that they say, Lord, dear, I need Jesus. And for those of us that are saved, Father, let us realize that we're made complete, we're perfect in your eyes to accomplish the work, the purpose that you've given us. And it's all through the blood of Jesus and the power of Jesus that you brought him back to life. God, we love you and we praise you and pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. And Father, we say it together. Amen and amen.
Amen.